Good evening and welcome to Open Air, and good evening, Jen.
And good afternoon, Michael.
One of these days I'm going to remember that it's still in the afternoon.
Oh, today. You know it. It's going to happen. It's absolutely going to happen.
Repetition leads to retention. That's what I know.
Indeed. Yep. And training, right? Training.
Yes.
Training the attention.
The attention. Yep. Yes. And I have.
What's our favorite quote about that, Michael? In practice, if we lose the spirit of repetition, our practice will become difficult.
Indeed. Yes. And
we will not lose the spirit of repetition.
Yes. And speaking of the spirit of repetition, meditation is one of the most effective ways to train the attention to be with present moment experience. Join Sangha for our virtual meditation groups, conference call meditation sessions that take place 7 days a week. For more information about this and other practice opportunities, visit mindcompassion.org.
Excellent. And Michael, I don't know, briefly, the Monday morning Pacific meditation, I think just for 1 week, wasn't offered. But for people who tried to get on that day, rest assured it is going to be offered again. So that's
okay. On
part of the regular schedule. Yep.
Great. Glad to hear that. And a few reminders for tonight. If you'd like to get in the queue to talk with Jen, please press *6 and then 1. And a conversation on about 5 minutes long and on one topic is great. And I think we're ready, Jen.
Okay, excellent.
First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Jen. Hi, Michael. It's Sri Devi.
Hey, Sri Devi.
Hi. So I was just calling to check in. because
excellent. That is a fabulous reason to call.
Yeah. Because, you know, I am doing great. And I'm feeling really good. And wouldn't you know it, you know, had one of those moments today where conditioning just wanted to remind me that, nope, that's not true. I'm not doing great, and I just feel really bad about myself.
Wow. And that's just one of those big mistakes that ego makes, right? It was seriously underestimating where your attention was in that moment, right? Because there are times where, you know, it feels good and I like everything that's happening, and without realizing it, the attention is kind of closed down. It's not really on awareness, and so it can come in and slam us with something like that. But when the attention is in that larger place that you're describing and all of that is within awareness, you see when it says something like this, like that, and you catch it.
Yeah. And just to talk about content for a moment, it's been really interesting because the content is around my physical looks, particularly my weight and, you know, and what I look like. And, you know, about 2 weeks ago, I saw a photo of myself and I just was like, you know what? Yeah, I'm not interested in feeling like that anymore. And it wasn't looking like that. It was more about feeling like that. And I want you to actually not come from a place of ego judgment. I don't think it did. It just came from a place of, I just don't think I want to feel like this anymore. And so I just started making some healthier choices and really trusting and just knowing that I'll be fine and getting back into my meditation practice and just so many things. It's only been 2 weeks, but I feel great. And then today another photo was shown to me, and there was conditioning right there. And I was looking at this really interesting thing that if I never looked at a photo or saw a reflection of myself in a mirror, I think I would be perfectly happy for the rest of my life. And it was an interesting moment because I don't know that it's actually the reflection or the photo. Of course, it's the sensation and then the voice that's telling me something related to it. And so when it came up today, I watched the traditional pattern of coping behaviors want to set in. And of course, the coping behaviors were ones that actually don't help me make me feel better. And I just kind of had to sit back and breathe and just go, well, Sri Devi, how do you feel? And I went, I feel great. And then I just kind of went, okay, then we're just moving on and we're just going to keep doing what we're doing. And that's it. And that felt pretty good. And I don't know that I've had that experience in a very long time.
Well, it's an incredibly profound experience. I mean, I'm a little bit speechless in where to even begin because it's just every single thing was covered in what you just said. And I think one of the biggest pieces that really stands out is the coping behavior, which is in response to being beaten by the voice, right, telling you, looking at this reflection of yourself and telling you how horrible you should feel and not at all taking into account everything that's been happening in the last 2 weeks that's putting you on the trajectory that you actually want to be on, that's coming completely, as you say, not from a decision to be perfect of, I got to be a better person, I can't do these things, but from an inside out kind of place, the way you describe it, then the voice tries to come in to beat you, and the coping behavior is going to be the very thing that leads you to the place that it then beats you up for. I mean, the whole thing is a classic setup. And again, you were completely there to see all of it.
Yeah, and I just have to say, I'm so grateful for, you know, the year-long radio show and retreat. Yeah. Because last week we were looking at anger. And I had a chance to dial in and talk about a particular content situation. And there was something that Sherry had said, and I can't quite remember it accurately, but it just reminded me of just that place of awareness about not being lulled into a space of like, I can't quite say it, but it's like not, I'll just say it like this. As all of this is happening, I've been very aware that at any given second, conditioning was going to come right in and get me. Like it wasn't the place of, you know, often we've talked about that place of always being dissatisfied slightly, you know, so you know, it wasn't that, like always waiting for the shoe to drop. It wasn't that. It was just going, I'm feeling really good, but I'm also really aware, you know, of like of conditioning. Yeah. And when it came in today and I saw it, I had all of the feelings I normally had. All of the same things. I even had a couple moments where, you know, I was like, oh. And then I just went, no, it's okay. You're fine. And so it was just, and I also say this with the awareness of like, you know, I could get off this call and it could be right there again.
Yeah.
But I just.
I was just going there too. Yep.
Yeah.
And that's so fine too. That's also
that's
part of it.
That's fine too. And I think what I'm seeing is it's not, and this is, I think this is actually what I really saw through the call last week. It's not, it's that place of, yes, I identified, and then I disidentified, and then I identified, and then I disidentified, and it's just what happens. And so I think it's more of, that's just what happens, and I just keep doing what I'm doing, and it's going to happen, and I just keep doing what I'm doing, and I'm not feeling like I failed or I have to start all over or anything. It's just, happened, and I just keep doing what I'm doing.
Because what you're really describing, Sridevi, you know, we're in the middle of doing a true reflections class right now, which is the second of the recording and listening classes, which I think you've participated in. And it talks about that very process that you're describing, which is that you're going through life with someone who loves you. And so you're getting that information all the time instead of, what we usually get is information from someone who hates us and is doing everything to sabotage us. So the content in many ways is exactly the same, right? You know, we get talked into things. Okay, we get talked into things. Those aren't the things that actually feel good. They're not the choices I actually want to make. So then you get on a track of making the choices that you actually want to make, and you see everything with that. And you'll still go through all those things that you'll go through. The voices will still attempt to do all the things they attempt to do. You're still a human being with all the feelings and experiences that you have. But there's someone in your corner there to assist you and be with you through all of it who loves you and who's rooting for your success.
Yeah. And just the last thing I'll say, what you just said, what dropped in for me was, I want to say, several weeks ago, there was a conversation, I can't remember if it was on the Daily Radio Show or on Open Air, but just about, you know, this thing of that really resonated with me around you know, I've been doing this practice now for 15 years. I think it was 15 years ago in December I went on my first There's Nothing Wrong With You retreat.
Oh,
and,
congratulations. That's a big anniversary.
Yeah. And I was looking at, you know, it'd be very easy for conditioning to come in and be like, wow, 15 years, Shrivevi, you still, you know, ..
Yep.
And I forget what Sherry was, she said something to one of the callers, just because sometimes I go, God, how has it not completely taken me out after 15 years, right? I still manage to stay with it. I still manage to still practice. And there was this thing she said that I wrote down and I carry around with me, which just really dropped in with what you said, Jen, which is life's love for you is stronger than ego's hatred. And I think that's what I'm really experiencing, is that love of life. I can feel it in my energy. I wake up in the morning and I just feel good, and nothing really beats that. And so I'm just,
nothing
I'm really, really
that.
Grateful for practice and for Sangha and for all the monks. It's just, I'm feeling good and it feels good.
Yeah, you're feeling good and it feels good. That's absolutely beautiful, Shrivevi. It really is the process. You know, and the, I can't top that. That is beautiful. That is beautifully put.
Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you for calling in to tell us about it. It's real. Yeah. It's a pleasure to hear that. You know, it's a pleasure to hear what each person is working with, how they're working with it, and really being able to model for all of us the process that's possible for us with all of it.
Yeah. Thank you, Jen. Thank you, Michael.
Go happy.
Thanks for joining us, Shrivevi. And Jen, what a fabulous way to start the show. Inspiring to hear all that.
Yeah.
And I just got the sense of, you know, there's nothing wrong. I'm free,
and
I'm identified, then I'm free, and then I'm identified. And once all of that is okay, then, wow, it really just speeds up the process, doesn't it?
It really does, and it frees us up to make those choices that we want to make, both on a process and a content level, right? Because then when I do get talked into something or it tries to come at me with something, it's only the something wrong that's going to get us. That's the only way it can get us. If all of it is held in acceptance, if all of it is in that larger context of nothing wrong, then great. You know, as soon as we see it, on we go, as Shrivevi said. No, I think we're fine. I think we'll just keep going here.
Yes, beautiful. And we have another caller here, Jen.
Okay, great.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
This is Tony from Athens.
Hey, Tony.
Hey, Jen, and hey, Michael. Well, my heart, like, speeds up when you're now in unity.
Mm-hmm.
My
favorite one with that, Tony, is years ago, a group of us, we facilitators, were about to walk into facilitator retreat and talking about that. Woo! Well, you know, heartbeats beating. And, of course, conditioning wants to talk about that as I'm really nervous. Oh, my gosh. And it changed my life when Sherry said, and maybe it's the energy of life arriving.
Oh,
I love that.
I love that.
Right? The energy of life arriving. Oh, you are now unmuted. Oh, and here's all the energy of life arriving as I'm unmuted.
I love that. I'm going to remember that. Every time I call, I get in the queue and there's that pounding heart. Well, and it's interesting because part of why I got in the queue is because there was a lot of energy coming up several times of just some real happiness and appreciation for something I've been training with ever since Summer of Sangha.
Huh.
Yes.
Beautiful. Say more.
Yes. Well, one of the things, because I've been a teacher part-time for a really long time and had gotten to the point where I was really doing a lot to prepare because I never felt quite adequate. So, you know, I had to really prepare.
Always got to prepare more, prepare more, try harder, try harder.
Yes, yes. And then, and I talked about it some while I was there at the Four Acres Zen Center, and I had a guidance appointment with Siri, and one of the things that she said at the end of the guidance was to practice presence over preparation. And that has really stuck with me. And I have seriously, I mean, but with a lot of fun, training myself to practice presence over preparation. And it has made teaching more enjoyable than I think it's ever been.
I bet. I bet. And I project, Tony, that at least at first it took some courage to do that. I mean, very similar in some ways to that last conversation we were just having, that we're so conditioned to believe, if I'm going to be okay, I'm going to have to try really hard. I'm going to have to, in your case, I'm going to have to prepare these lessons. I mean, that's the only way it's going to be okay. And so a little bit, I would guess, a leap of faith to, okay, well, actually, I'm going to practice presence over preparation. And lo and behold, your experience is that, in fact, it's much more fun to teach. You have a far better experience with all of it.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah, it's, and yeah, it did, it was like, okay, here we go. Let's see what happens. And, but it just, it's so like, it's just been so good for my practice in that, you know, maybe I would spend an hour preparing. Well, I spend, you know, 45 minutes recording and listening and, you know, doing some things to nurture myself, and then 15 minutes maybe preparing. And it's just amazing how much, what a difference it's making. So I don't feel, I'm not as attached to outcomes. I'm more going to go with the flow, and I feel like I'm more present with myself and with the students.
Oh, brilliant, Tony. I mean, honestly, if everyone practiced that, we would live in a very different world. I mean, just that, you making it concrete like that. Okay, so normally you would have spent an hour preparing for the thing. So now you're spending 45 minutes actually doing that, spending 45 minutes training the attention to be in presence, whether that's recording, listening, sitting on the cushion, whatever it is. You're actually taking that time to practice presence, and then you're going on with your preparation. I mean, that is true. I'm not at all surprised here. Like, your experience of being transformed, that is life-changing.
It really, it is for me, is because I teach a fair amount, and it's been, it's gotten to the point where I almost wasn't enjoying it because there was, it was kind of arduous. And then, but I mean, I'm changing things around. Like, I change what I do, changing how I do it, and just not listening to this, you know, how I'm inadequate and got to work really hard, or how I need to do this for the students and I need to do that. And just like letting, you know, looking to life, and things will drop in, and then, you know, and following that. And then even today I was working on something, and I could, it was starting to get kind of heavy and arduous, and I was like, nope, stop, okay, okay. And I record while I'm preparing. I'll do a lot of, like, just recording, you know, like mentors right there, and I'm like, well, let's look at this, and what about this? And, you know, so it just all that together, it's surprising how much more enjoyable it is.
Yeah, and at the same time, not at all surprising, right? Because what you said a really key thing a minute ago as you were describing doing the planning part of it, you know, and then this will drop in and that will drop in, and that's it right there, right? Again, without realizing it, we're looking to condition mind to run our lives, right? To write this or do that or sync this up or try to make a really good lesson plan or do anything. And Sherry's constantly reminding us we don't actually need conditioned mind for anything, nothing, right? I mean, the intelligence that animates, I mean, there's not even a comparison between that and conditioned mind, right? So essentially you're turning over your lesson planning to the intelligence that animates. That seems like a really good idea. And of course, you're then plugged into this infinite database of creativity and possibility, and wow. Yeah. What an amazing process.
Yeah, well, I like the way you just said that, too, because I think before, you know, I started out inspired and I'm going to do this, and it's just, you know, feel really good about it. And then at some point, there's a looking to condition mind for the lesson plan. The way you said it, it's like looking to life for the lesson plan.
That points at another piece of it. I don't know if this was part of it or has been a part of it for you, Tony, but I could imagine for, you know, as we take inspiration from what you're saying and sort of set out to start to train with that, there likely is a transition period. And so not very similar, again, to what Sridevi was saying, not to get to that place of like, okay, this isn't working, you know, basically looking to condition mind to decide, are these lesson plans really, quote, good, and are they good enough and brilliant and all that, but to really hang in there with the process and stay with it and not believe any of those condition assessments and just give ourselves that time to transition, to truly let life live, let life inform.
It just works so much better. It really, I think, you know, I mean, I don't know if it's better for the students, but it, you know, I know it's better for myself, and I suspect it is. I mean, I just sense that.
Because we're drawn to presence, you know, we know that from being around people who are present. I mean, we love it. We're drawn to it. So, you know, there's that sense of it.
Yeah. And then I feel like, too, I'm more open to the moment when maybe they have questions, or then something arises that will that wasn't on the lesson plan that might be helpful. But and hopefully this relates to people in other occupations in some way. But it just it's been really.
I can promise you it does. Yeah,
okay,
I mean I think it relates to every single aspect of every part of our life, to be honest. Yeah, I really do. Yeah.
Well, thank you. I've just been enjoying it so much, and there was a lot of energy about it earlier because I was grading, and it was like totally different because I changed the assignment so it would be joyful to grade. And that, you know, it just made me so happy. So I just wanted to share
that. Well, it's making me so happy listening to you, Tony, and thank you so much for calling in to talk about your experience of it, because I'm guessing there will be many of us who will want to follow in your footsteps.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much, Jan. And thank you, Michael.
Thanks, Tony.
Thanks for joining us, Tony. And, Jen, I love that presence, not preparation, because, as you say, presence is compelling. And it's attractive, and it's fun.
And the way Tony described it, taking the hour and spending the first 45 minutes, I think it's that, you know, he uses that image of, you know, was it Abraham Lincoln? If I'm going to chop down a tree, it's really an unfortunate image, but, you know, if I'm going to chop down the tree and I have 4 hours to do it, I'm going to spend the first 3 sharpening my axe. Right, so that's that's the same principle that instead of just hacking away at that thing with conditioned mind for, you know, ever, and it's never going to work really, instead really truly putting in that, you know, not just saying, oh yeah, presence over preparation, but actually putting in the time and the attention into the presence part of the program, making the investment there. That's huge.
Yeah, it's powerful. It's powerful. And Jen, it's time for Good News Update. And so let me bring your guest on here.
Okay.
And Jen, I'll turn it over to you for Good News Update.
Excellent. I am pleased to be joined by Bree, who wrote to us asking if she could be a guest on Good News to speak about her experience of donating to practice. Welcome, Bree.
Hi. Thanks, Jen. Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for being here. I wonder if you could start by just saying a little bit about what moved you to write in to ask to speak on this topic.
Yes. You know, it just came to me. I realized that rarely are we asked directly as a community for financial support, you know, separate from the money we do pay to participate in different workshops and practice opportunities. And that is certainly a form of donation. But to make a financial donation, which I began doing back in, I think it was January of, or 2022, I started making a donation of $25 a month. And then in June of this year, I doubled it to 50. And I did think about, look, the reality is it takes money to run things and keep things going, even spiritual things like a monastery. I say that tongue in cheek.
Everyone
you know.
Eats. Right. Everyone right. Eats. Electricity costs
self-care.
Money everywhere.
Yes.
Yep. And self-care.
You know,
yep.
I think there's an interesting, possibly still some disconnect about spiritual things needing money, as if it's just going to be taken care of. Well, no. This is a real physical place where people live and eat, like you say, and it takes money to run it. Mm-hmm. And I am fortunate. I'm in a position right now in my life where I have money that I can donate, and it's not so what motivated, to get to your question too, there would be times when I would be listening to exchanges between Sherry or Ashwini or even you with members of our Sangha, and it would just fill me up. I mean, I would just be so full of gratitude and sometimes awe. I just felt I would just be overwhelmed by how much I was just being given so much. That is so deep, and it goes right into my, like, my being. And in one of those moments, it hit me back then in January of 2022, I guess, I wanted to give back in the form of money, of cold, hard cash, because I want this to keep going, and I want to support people, you know, who are into transformation, who want to transform, and who want to become more conscious.
And it's so beautiful the way you describe it, Bree, because it's so obvious that it comes from a place of gratitude wants to give, right? You're being transformed as you're practicing in your own practice. You're aware that you're receiving so much from all of Sangha, from the guide, and that you're aware that everything costs money. I mean, money is the way that we transfer energy, we could say, if we want to be terribly esoteric about it, right? But it is, right? Yeah. We're all here in form. And so the reality is it costs money to run an organization. And you're right. It's often the organization does not ask directly for donations. And I think largely that's because, you know, it's not a, you don't want to put pressure on people. People need to come to the place that they come to on their own with that and, you know, may look to see what, to their own process for that and what they see about that. And so it's lovely for you to be able to describe your own process, what you've seen and what you've come to around all of that.
Well, I don't think it would hurt to give people a hint every once in a while. I really don't.
Maybe there's a middle way. Right.
Is it not the same thing to, you know, in whatever way it would be said, you know, donations support us. It supports these teachings with not to, and then someone is going to respond to that as they are. If that's another opportunity, if they're going to feel pressured by a general, you know, putting it out there, just the reality, it takes money to run this monastery, or they'll feel moved to start thinking about it more profoundly, like, hey, yeah, you know, funny, I never thought about it, but yeah, it does, and I can donate money.
to something that has such meaning to me. So that's my take on it. You know?
Yeah, well, and it's just so it's so perfect because it's very much like what we were just talking with Tony about, that, you know, life, when we let life take care of it, life does take care of it. And in this way, truly, through Bree has this insight, offers to come on Good News, and there, now it gets brought up to the attention of there.
Good.
Right?
You know, yeah. I mean, like I said, it just came to me. It did just kind of say, gee, you know, they never asked for money, but it takes money to run this beautiful place. And, you know, I'm saying when I think about, reflect on, and see how much this monastery and the teachers and the staff, they just keep giving and giving and giving. It's mind-blowing to me. Now, I have been in this for decades, so I have this long history here. But really, I mean, it's like constantly giving so much. And I want to support. And that's another thing that really, you know, was positive for me, too, to be thinking about this, knowing I'd be talking with you. I want to support these teachings, capital T. I want to support the teachers. And I really feel like I am supporting every person in Sangha with my monthly donation.
You are.
Oh, thank you. And it, you know, I can't tell you, it gives me enormous feeling of connection to something so much bigger than Bree. And I only came to that by reflecting on it, thinking about it, knowing I'd be talking to you.
Yep. Well, you have just put your finger right on that. You know, sometimes there's that image of the circle of giving and receiving. You can't tell where the giver and where it starts and where the receiver is, and it's all one thing. Because when you say, oh, my goodness, you know, what the organization gives and the guide and the, you know, staff and the people who have, you know, blah, all of those, you put your finger right on where that comes from. The enormous gratitude that we all feel for being part of something much bigger, something that takes all of us out of that little ego eye that is the cause of suffering. It's such a win-win for all of us that we're called up out of that process, and we get to participate in this beautiful thing that's so much bigger than any of us, and whether that be financially or even truly the generosity of the insight drops in for you, which is coming from you practicing presence, and then you ask to speak about it. You know, that's the generosity of participation as well. All of it really is.
Yeah. You know, that slogan I was going to bring up also, giving wants to give. I'll tell you, that's just one of those slogans that just grabs me and just sticks. And there is something about it that just feels so alive to me. It's like, and then I got to it. It's like a nonstop loop. It just keeps feeding giving. So it keeps, moving out into wider energy and circle. And I love what you said about the reciprocity also between this amazing opportunity we are given. And all the people, I have no idea how many people in numbers, you know, are in, you know, members or whatever we call it. But it really blows me away at times to realize we have a living teacher who brings Buddhism to our lives. It's so relevant. I don't know if I can even describe it that well, but, you know, the feeling I have to have the Buddhist but to have the Buddhist teachings transferred, so to speak, into 2023, to me is amazing. And I am so full of gratitude because I am such a different person. I was thinking about some personal issues I struggled with and over the years. And I just thought, I had to think about it to realize I don't even experience those issues anymore. And I know why I have this practice.
Yeah, that's it. Exactly so. And our participation on every level, including financial, is, and you've made this point several times,
yes,
is the thing that pays it forward, right? That makes it,
yes,
continue to be available. And we're practicing something that is from 2,500 years ago, at least, right? At least.
Right.
And that's from everyone participating from that point forward that we have access to it today. And as you say, the very unique gift of having a living teacher who can,
yes,
offer us the teaching every single day.
It's amazing. Yes, it,
yeah,
is. And I want to, like I said, I want to keep moving this forward. Yes, it's coming from this,
yeah,
enormous history behind us, but I want to have it continue into the future.
Yeah.
And, you know,
yeah,
again, we will participate in the way we can, of course. This is about loving kindness. Not everyone does have the finances financially. I get that, of course.
Right.
Years
That's
ago,
right,
I didn't either. But somehow the universe arranged itself, and it sometimes still amazes me, so that right now in my life, I have the finances. And
yeah,
that's
another good point, Bree.
Okay.
And we talk about that also with participation, right?
Uh-huh.
That there are times where, you know, something's going on and one person can't be on the radio show, can't put themselves in the queue, or,
right,
you know, they're being dragged down under. But then meanwhile,
right,
all the archives are there from all those years that everyone has.
Right.
And then something will, if they stay with it, something will circle around and they'll be the one on the radio show that someone else gets to listen to. Same thing financially, that we each get to,
yeah,
take our turn and to be part of that carrying it forward. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, yes, yeah, and yes. Yes, yes.
Well,
yes.
I will tell you, this very conversation is proof of that process, that the reciprocity you're talking about, because I'm even more lit up than I was before. So now I really want to participate. So
I'm pretty jived up myself right now. Also.
Yeah.
So,
oh,
wonderful.
Great. Well, thank you so much for your own practice, allowing you to be present, to have that drop in, to follow through, to ask to be here to talk about it, and to be with us today to share
it
all this.
It is my,
it's really, really
joy.
Lovely.
It is my joy to give this. So thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.
Take good care. Gasho.
Gasho.
And Michael, we'll turn it back over to you.
Wonderful. Thank you, Jen, and thank you, Bree. And wow, wow, I had the Kleenex out over here, Jen. That was incredible. Just really moving.
Really,
yeah,
moving,
and
isn't it? I mean, the energy of that is unbelievable.
Yes, yes, it is. And I could speak for at least as long as Bree, but I'll keep it short and say that when I was ready for practice, there was a Zen center and a monastery. I can't talk. There were workshops and retreats.
Listen, we're in no hurry, Michael. We're in no hurry.
You know, it was just extraordinary. It was just all there. It was all laid out. You know, Sherry says, you know, practice doesn't need to get ready for you. You need to get ready for practice. And
yeah,
I was ready. It was all there. It's perfect.
Yeah. And imagine all those people, Michael, that, I mean, that's one of the really fun things about the history postcards that we're doing now. I was just working on one that's going to go out next, is to look back it makes it so tangible to realize, yes, 2,500 years ago, all the Buddha and all those people carried it forward. And just, that's one of those huge just, in our very Sangha, all the thousands of people who have come before you and I and have been there and have donated financially and participated their time and their energy. And the person who had the idea, what, 25 years ago now, Michael? You know, what if we had a weekly radio show? That could be kind of fun.
Yeah.
Hey, let me look.
Yeah.
Let me look into this little radio show at Stanford University that I have access to, and let's see where that goes.
Yeah, that would be fun. Yeah.
Wouldn't that be fun? And then we could have, like, after a couple decades, we'll have, like, thousands of archives that anyone could, around the world could listen to. I mean, that could be pretty that could be a pretty cool way to make practice available to a lot of people.
That's a genius idea, Jen.
Don't you think? I think we should look into it, Michael.
Yeah, and a practice that has, you know, saved my life multiple times. And, you know, it's going to be there whenever my kids are ready. So
it's
just a very beautiful
That's
thing.
Right. That's like the fifth time I've had goosebumps the show tonight. So thank you for that, Michael.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. And I think we're ready for another caller here, Jen.
Okay, excellent.
All right. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Jen. This is Jan.
Hey, Jan.
Hi. What amazing conversations. Before good news, during good news, I mean, it's like we're flying sort of high here.
Really? Exactly. Oh. Luckily, we know how to expand the container and just kind of twinkle.
Yeah. Well, you and Michael are pulling it all together. But anyway, it's been great. And I called in with, it's sort of like a, to report on what I talked, I think it was Ashwini I talked to a long time ago about that I hadn't done the Commitment Buddies program before. And I did this last quarter for the first time. And so I just wanted to report on what I've seen, because a lot of it has been, I want to say, a surprise. It's probably a surprise to conditioning, but it's just been, it's been wonderful. And I was talking to my reflective listening buddy today about it. And what I've seen, part of what I've seen, I start with my commitment. My main aim was to increase the number of two-handed recordings that I was doing on a regular basis. So I've gotten to see everything that gets me to not do that, which, of course, is one of the major goals of the program, I think, or at least it's been for me. Every little thing, that could get in the way. But then the bonus to me has, besides strengthening that relationship with the mentor, has been this, what I saw today was an increase in, getting to see that all recording that we do has the potential for those true reflections. That it's like all of a sudden the title of that, the training that is going on right now, and that I've gone and I thought it was so tremendous, that just the increasing recordings increases the true reflections, or at least that's been my experience.
Yeah. Well, talk about bringing a lot of threads together, Jan. Wow, you just covered a lot of territory in that. So, first of all, I love the thing you describe of realizing, I've never done Commitment Buddies. That's interesting. And so as an awareness practitioner, that catches your attention, right? And so then what's the thing you're going to do? Well, I'm going to do that so that I can have my own direct experience of that. And so then you choose the content of two-handed recordings, which is so perfect. And as you say, one of the huge benefits of the Commitment Buddies, it's not the traditional, like, okay, make a commitment and then nose to the grindstone and I get beaten when I don't keep the commitment and I try, you know, make a decision to be perfect and try harder when I don't, not at all. It's a completely different process. Instead, the whole structure is there for you to see all the billions of ways the conditioned mind is going to attempt to talk you out of that you want to do. And all of that is part of it. So none of it's a mistake. If you get talked out of it, either you realize you got talked out of it, and so you text back to your buddy saying, you didn't do it today, or you completely, it goes off your radar screen, and so you get a text from your buddy saying, no text was received today. Either way, you get to practice turning attention to see, oh, that's interesting. Let me see what I see about that. Which is training you to go to just noticing instead of to self-hate. I mean, the whole thing is just brilliant.
Yeah, well, the program is brilliant. But conditioning truly was keeping me from seeing that for a very long time. by not knowing, you know, by not experiencing it. But the part that the other thing, as you were giving that, so making it so clear that one of the main things I got to see is that conditioning comes in, did make it. Oh, well, you know, you didn't meet that goal. You know, like it was a goal program rather than a process, a program for us to have the opportunity to see the processes that go on for us that keep us from doing what our heart desires. And, oh, my goodness.
And you got to see that, too.
I got to see
how it tried to turn it into a goal.
Yes. Well, right, and how... I don't know. There's so much there. It's like a reflection of life because it's how we do anything, it's how we do everything. So, of course, there's that overflow into everything else of, am I wanting to do something from the heart, or is this just something that, you know, am I being set up? I guess is one way to say it.
Mm-hmm.
Just the goal of, you know, that I'm supposed to be doing something a certain way. So, I'm just so grateful. I just wanted to call in and report that it was much more, it offered much more than I ever expected. I'm terrifically grateful, especially to, I don't guess my buddy who is always there to tell me I did or, you know, the gusho that I, whatever I send or reminding me, didn't get anything. So,
it's so simple, and it's so much support, isn't it?
It really is. It really is.
Yeah.
And,
to have someone who's essentially, I mean, it's such a tangible experience of everything we've been talking about on the show today.
Exactly.
Sangha showing up for Sangha.
Yep. Well, gratitude one.
You know, the other piece of it that you brought back around, thank you for bringing it back around because I hadn't reflected it, which is I love that piece also of that the true reflection, that the more you do it, the more you receive that true reflection. I mean, one of the things we talk about at the very beginning of the true reflections class is that we're so conditioned essentially to look in the mirror of egocentricity, to see ourselves reflected in that just constantly negative, you know, beating, not good enough, you know, do this, not enough that. And so to train the attention to see the true reflection. And so, of course, the more we do two-handed recording, the more we are in that process that you're describing of just noticing and seeing, you know, all that we see in something like a Commitment Buddies program or, you know, upping our recording listening practice, we're more and more in that true reflection, really getting to see that authenticity reflected back to us.
Yeah. Yes, I'm glad you said that because that it's only dropped in the true reflections part, seeing that that's actually what's been going on as my, you know, the amount of two-handed recordings has increased or been more consistent. It's only come in this last week. It was like this appreciation, I don't even know how to describe it. It was like an appreciation or this just being humbled by the whole thing and then realizing, true reflections of life is just there all the time. And that, and it's been more accessible because of that, well, just doing more recording, the two-handed recording has made it possible, so. Anyway.
And I love that you use that word appreciation, Jan, because one of the things that kept dropping in for me as you were just talking is be so lovely, and maybe you've done this, but to do a recording of appreciation for that, you know, you talk about receiving so much from Commitment Buddies because there was so much brought to it. That's why you're receiving so much, you know, and so an appreciation recording for that process of showing up in that in such a profound, deep, committed way.
Yeah, really good point. I mean, that's interesting because the mentor has reflected that, but I haven't done that in the recording. So, thank you. I will do that.
Excellent. Thank you, Jan.
Thank you so much, Jan. Thank you, Michael.
So happy.
You too.
Thanks for joining us, Jen. Another fabulous conversation, Jen. And I think we have time for at least one more call here.
Okay, great.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Karen in Houston.
Hi, Karen.
Hey, Karen.
Hi. Well, I'm enjoying the call. What I wanted to share about was awareness that dropped in just recently about one of the unique ways that conditioned mind or ego, what makes me suffer, is pointing out injustice towards me. Like how I'm not being fairly treated. And it's
fairly
a source
treated,
of
yep.
suffering. It's such a bamboozle. Because it really overlooks all the grace in my life and and in my past, all the grace and all the things to be grateful for. And even just saying it out loud now, I feel a little bit of emotion coming with it. What practice provides for me is awareness of the grace. Awareness that I am loved and I am cared for.
Yes. Yes.
And
well stated. Yes.
And the voice and it's persuasive, this crazy persuasive, I mean becoming less and less persuasive. But when I give it attention, I'm hooked by feeling like a victim of life, feeling sorry for myself.
Feeling justified
in it.
Oh, yeah. And it's so interesting what you're pointing at, Karen, because I project, when you really, really see it, it's not subtle. It's wow. I mean, that is clearly a suffering process. But at least in my experience, it can feel very subtle, and it's huge that you've caught on to it in the way that you have. And I love that connection that you made of that it feels like through your practice, you're really able to experience that grace and experience how fortunate we all are and the miracle of all of it. And so I project it's that contrast between that experience, and then the voice starts to talk to you about how you're not being treated justly, and it's not fair that, And there's such a juxtaposition there that it's like, whoa, wait a minute. That's a suffering process because, A, it's not true, and, B, it's a horrible way to live to feel like I'm a victim of all of this. That's not at all a happy place to be.
Yes, exactly. It's not a happy place to be, and it's not true. amazingly, I love, just you guys reminding me what we're practicing is the presence of love.
Yeah.
So we're practicing presence, and that is like the presence is full of love.
That's right.
For me, too, for this person.
Yeah.
So when this
person,
it's like, that is like the light room. I mean, that is the light bulb in the room.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I've had over and over this, when I'm in a dark room and I'm like looking for the light, redirecting my attention, like on it, like really, then I have this, it's like, the next day I wake up and I'm like washed in love for no reason, joy for no reason. So the practice is like, it has like given me like an oar to like be in my little boat with, like away. Oh, like
paddling
to get some leverage
instead of upstream against life. Right?
Yeah. Or right myself when I'm all caught up in a tide pool or whirlpool or something.
Yes,
and...
right. Like a back I can't think of the word, but one of those river guides that knows exactly can put the oar in just the right way to get us cruising back down the. And what did you say a minute ago, Karen? That was so fabulous. For no reason. Right, so you wake up, you know, completely happy with a capital H, you know, just awash in, you know, we could use so many words there, right? Love, joy. And it's so funny because what I saw when you said that was for no reason is a synonym there of unconditional.
Unconditional.
Because we're so conditioned, right? We're conditioned to think, you know, my well-being, my happiness, that's going to be because of something. But that for no reason I project is an acknowledgement of, it's unconditional. It's who I am. It's not because of something. It's who I am. That's what you're touching into.
And that, I mean, I'm feeling right in this moment, I'm really feeling into, like, what an honor it is to practice, because that's what I'm practicing. I'm practicing the presence of that and also the way to get, and also, like, the way to it when I'm not there, because, you know, it's like I'm practicing it and the way to it.
Beautiful.
So that feels, I mean,
because that also makes it unconditional, doesn't it? In other words, sometimes you wake up in the morning awash with just presence and love and it's all there, and sometimes you don't. And if practicing with all of it and being on the path is that within that, it's very hard to articulate, but if it's all within that experience, then it's not conditional on how I'm doing on a particular day. In other words, we don't turn it over to conditioned mind to say, well, how am I doing in practice now? And, oh, I'm not really feeling it. Now I'm feeling it, so that's good. Now I'm not feeling it, so that's bad. Right? It's all the process is also part of all of it and also part of the beauty of it. And it's also the love. Process of it is the love.
Yeah. And I really like when it sneaks up on me.
Yes.
I mean, I love that.
Lovely, isn't
that's
it?
A fun, yes. That's like a hide and seek with God kind of thing.
Yes,
you know?
I just went there too. Yes, and God just peeked around the corner. Gotcha, Karen.
Yeah.
Often when we didn't even realize we were hiding.
Mhm. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. It's beautiful. It really is.
Yeah. Well, much gratitude. Thank you very much.
Thanks for calling in, Karen. Take good care.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us, Karen. And what a beautiful way to end the show, Jen. Such a lovely conversation.
Indeed. Yeah, it really was. We always say it.
Beautiful.
We have a pretty incredible sangha.
We have a
practice.
Very incredible sangha. Yes. Yeah. And I think we should meet again like this next week. What do you think?
I think it's a really good idea. I really do. I think we should keep this radio show thing going. And
seems to be working.
And many of us will get to be, as we alluded to earlier, many of us will get to be on another radio show tomorrow morning.
Wonderful.
Our very own guide and our very own beautiful exercises that we're always looking at. And there's just no shortage of reasons to feel grateful.
And that's perfectly
even though, as we established, we don't need reasons, but.
Wonderful. Jen, thanks for being here tonight, and thanks to everyone for joining
Michael.
Us. Yeah,
all
go
right.
Happy.
Go happy.